This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, I'm Philip C, and this is the Breakfast Grill. Remember those lazy Tim Sam lunches and 10-course wedding banquets? Today we speak to Philip Siu, chairman of the Oriental Group, one of the biggest Chinese restaurant chains in Malaysia, and the owner behind Ming Room and Noble House. Now, you are an industry veteran. You have been in the F&B space for over 40 years, right? Give us a sense how significant this pandemic has been on the business.
This time is really terrible, I would say. One, because of the duration from March last year till now, they're talking about more than a year and a half. The severity in the sense that the government at one point had no choice but to close all our outlets, during the worst of times. Unlike the other challenges I faced in this industry over the last 40 years, those challenges were more economic, like 97, economic downturn. So you just face an economic problem. Back in the mid-80s, there was another big downturn. SARS, that was early 2003, I think. Just a bit of it, not much of impact here. And maybe 2007, that's more of a US banking crisis thing. So it's all financial, except for the SARS thing, which wasn't too much of an impact. But this time, it really impacted us in a big way. 20,000 cases a day is no joke, Klang Valley, where most of our outlets are, was really badly hit.
So how big was the impact? Could you quantify for us the decline?
Even today, after reopening, we are only doing something like 20 to 25% of what we used to do. That is a 75% loss for us in a turnover. At one time, it went down to zero, as you know, when all the outlets were closed. Here, it really means for us, if we don't have a strong balance sheet, we would have capsized by now. I mean, imagine, for us, our industry has always carried high fixed overheads. Fixed overheads meaning fixed wages, salaries, skilled staff. You can't employ temporary workers for them. I mean, for our industry, not that many, rather. Fixed premises, as in you need to pay rentals. And much of our rental is structured on fixed rentals rather than percentage of sales. So in a sense, we have to carry something like, or we have to live with something like cash burn of 3.5 to 4 million a month.
So that cash burn, right, 3.5, 4 million a month. Now restaurants are beginning to open. If you were a month back when everything was still shut, how much balance sheet strength would have it provided for you to keep on going? You know, how many more months left would you have had?
We did a very, very deep stress test 3 months ago. We already knew that the maximum we could last if the government had not allowed dining, maximum we would have gone on to is 30th September, after which we have to go back to the shareholders for funding. Let me talk about our group, which I would reckon is one of the biggest Chinese restaurant players in the whole country. I put on record, we started the MCO back in March 2020. I had in the balance sheet more than 30 million in cash. Today, I'm down to 20% of that. Just imagine the cash burn during this period. Now, how many groups have more than 30 million in cash as at the point when MCO started? We were fortunate because we just went through the Chinese New Year. We had a very strong Chinese New Year period. So we accumulated a fair bit of cash. Frankly, if not for that, we would have really had a serious problem.
What kind of capacity do you need to do to stop the cash burn happening? Because now you're at 25-30%.
I need to push it up to 60-70.
60-70%. So it needs to more than double for you to stem the cash burn.
But there was also one part that was also taken away from us, or not to say taken away from us, that just simply disappeared. The wedding functions and the corporate events. I calculated, I did a rough calculation, all that from the day MCO started, what we lost in the wedding functions, corporate events, and maybe birthday dinners and all that. My estimate is my group alone lost 50 over million during this period.
In a good year, right, in 2019, that 50 million, how much is that as a percentage of your total revenue and profit?
30%.
30%? So for those periods, which is like essentially and effectively 1 to 2 months in a year, that outsized contribution is close to 1/3 of your revenue.
During the wedding months, it can be something like half our revenue or more. There are months when it's like below 10%. Let's say the April months and the 7 months, you know, the Ghost Festival month. Then you have the wedding seasons, September, October, November, December. Oh, those are the home run months. So we used to enjoy all that. All that is gone now.
Do you think wedding banquets, corporate dinners, will they resume back? Do you think consumption patterns will fundamentally change as a result of this pandemic?
I hope not. And I try to convince myself it won't. But there again, we have government regulations to contend with. It will depend very much on what the SOPs will say, how the government will look at gatherings next time in the future. It's something I can't estimate at this point. One positive I would say is that I was informed that wedding registrations in China during the recent month of May broke all-time records. So maybe that is
a sign of things to come.
I hope, you know, I'm always a positive, optimistic person. I hope.
And you know, when you look at the reopening happening, do you see a distinction or difference between your different outlets, particularly, for example, between shopping malls and those that are standalone? Do you see recovery more uneven between your outlets?
I don't think there will be very, very big differences. Malls will still be popular, I believe, especially those with good management and those who have conducted themselves the right way during this pandemic. Standalone will also be okay as long as they have conducted themselves kind of in the right manner during this period. I think very much going forward, this thing about reputation, about where we stand in terms of SOPs, standards, cleanliness, and all and so on, you know, all these things will matter to a choice of where you go.
Do you find that consumer tastes are changing rapidly, in your view, even before the pandemic, right? The excesses of 10-meal banquets, do you see consumer tastes evolving since the pandemic and expect that to continue then?
Yes, I would. In fact, if I go back to the 40 years I've been in this industry, I have lived with and I have seen the change, preferences, taste buds. Well, I've always looked at it in a rather flexible manner, as in food should also be considered like what's fashionable or not. We can't be so dogmatic as to just do the normal traditional steamed fish and it's steam all the way. So there are probably another 99 different other ways to present a fish. We should explore all the other 99 ways.
On The Breakfast Grill today, we speak to the chairman of Oriental Group of Restaurants, Philip Siu. When we come back, their online delivery. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back. Today with us on The Breakfast Grill is the chairman of Oriental Group of Restaurants, Philip Siu. Now, early on, we talked about the impact the pandemic has had on your restaurant chain. But you've also evolved and you've introduced a new online delivery platform, Oriental To You. How much has that platform helped you recover your revenue?
There was a time it was nearly 100%. We had to depend on takeaways. I mean, that was our only lifeline. So can you imagine depending on that 100%, something which we, not because of arrogance, but in the past, takeaways was something we always considered as a kind of side business. And the takeaway food was always supposed to be dealt with or cooked by the fourth or fifth ranking chef. Today, I have my top chef cooking takeaway food because there's nothing better to do. So now that is important, right?
Well, it definitely gives you context to the situation you're in. How much revenue or, you know, orders do you get a day now with Oriental2You.com?
It's about 20%. I mean, after the dine-ins came back, it started with about 80%, now dropping down to about 40%.
And like, how many deliveries do you do a day?
At a peak, we touched 2,500 deliveries in one day. That was the eve of Chinese New Year. But right now, we have, of course, normal days, we would be something like about 300 to 350.
And it was a very interesting strategy to work alone and not work with any of the other major P-hailing businesses like Grab and BPIT. Why was that the case?
We started with Grab, actually, but we decided that since we have this group size, we should have a platform of our own so that we can have our own policies in it.
For example, what policies were you planning to introduce that you couldn't do on Grab?
Not to say we can't do anything with Grab. They are actually quite efficient. They are well ahead of the curve than us. But it's just that over the longer term, we feel that we'd rather control our own platform.
Were there any teething problems in setting up the online platform?
There was always these delivery problems and all that. We even had cases where delivery partners were not efficient enough. Where we get all sorts of little problems, not deliveries, late deliveries, and all sorts of wrong deliveries, and sometimes even to the extent that double deliveries, and non-deliveries because the guy coming to collect suddenly realized there's it's not halal.
I mean, how long was the teething problems? I mean, I presume now it's all fixed and no issue already.
Yeah, it's much less now. It took us, I would say, nearly half a year to fix up all those problems.
Wow.
And of course, there were multiple issues. That's why I say Grab was well ahead of the curve. We could have, I suppose, we can still depend on them 100%. That's the easier way out.
That's right.
We were determined to have one of our own so that we feel it's more controllable. Mm-hmm. Well, there was this percentage that's charged by Grab, which is not exactly low. So right now, you know, our margins are actually quite fine in this industry. So once you get, you lose a double digit number, you will end up with practically zero.
Now let's shift attention back to the dining experience. Because even before the pandemic, you were already reinventing Oriental Group by launching very interesting concepts, right? Even smaller outlets like Oriental Express and You. Do you see Oriental Group pursuing that strategy going forward? Are you moving towards smaller outlets? Or you feel it's better to just double down and expand your larger spaces?
We will continue doing that. In fact, we will not only continue, but introduce new things.
For example?
We've broken our group into a few categories. One is the traditional, which is our bread and butter. That is dim sum, barbecue, and normal Chinese dishes. Those will be places like Noble House, Oriental Pavilion, Big Room, Tang Room, and all that. So those are the bread and butter traditional Chinese restaurants. On top of that, we'll have specialty restaurants that we are creating. One is in the space of Muslim-friendly. naan pork. We have ruyi, we have yu. And not only that, this will be going and or moving in a direction of modern Chinese cuisine. The menus will be inclined to be like what you will find in a fine dining Chinese restaurant in London or in New York or in Vegas today or in Paris or Monaco right now. So that's more for the foreign markets and the Muslim friendly or pan-Malaysian markets. We have also started, unfortunately at the wrong time, just before the pandemic, an Orator Express, which will be focused on noodles, clay pot rice, and porridge with barbecue. That's for mainstream, broad market, anyone. Maybe we are just about 10 to 15% more expensive than a coffee shop. But we are offering quality and cleanliness and a nice dining environment, aircon with service. At the same time, we also went into seafood space. We have Seafood World. And we are going to have a new concept called Singapore Chili Crab. Now, please don't debate with me about this thing about Singapore Chili Crab. But there's a reason behind the name. And eventually, once the dining's are more popular, we should be opening it sometime before the end of this year.
So four concepts, right? One is your traditional, then you have your modern contemporary, then the third is your convenient and value, and then you have the fourth, which is your seafood specialty, right?
Yes.
What's the vision like in 5 years? How big and will each of these four segments contribute to the business? How will they proportionally contribute?
Right now, bread and butter traditional thing is contributing like 85% the whole group business, 85 to maybe even 90%. In 5 years, I would imagine the bread and butter would have maybe gone down to 70 to 75%, and the Muslim friendly one would have gone up to at least 20%. Maybe another 10% for the rest, 10 to 15% for those new businesses, which are, well, easy to scale, but easy to accept.
And we talk about concentration of the business, because even when you talk about 3-4 years' time, still quite concentrated on the traditional. But another area that you are quite concentrated in is Klang Valley. Because if I look at your outlets, and if you have the point being the Selangor KL border, really most of your restaurants are within 10 kilometers striking distance from each other, right? With the exception of your Cheras outlet. In fact, I would even hazard to say that you have more outlets than Starbucks in Bangsa and PJ. You know, is there any strategy to expand beyond Klang Valley?
Yes, we were kind of looking at Ipoh and Johor before the pandemic started. And in fact, for Penang, we were already talking to someone on a nice location. But unfortunately, everything's changed right now. With so much uncertainty, we don't want to really drag on those negotiations. So until there's more clarity, the plan still remains.
But the plan must be delayed, presumably because your investors, and namely one of your major investors is Nevis Capital Partner, right? They've invested in you since March 2016. They are going to ask you to just shore up your balance sheet further before investing and expanding.
I mean, what comes immediately after this COVID is, frankly, the repair of the finances, the repair of the balance sheet. That's going to be quite critical because you need capex. I mean, to open a 10,000 square feet restaurant nowadays is at least 5 million. So even a 5,000 square feet restaurant is going to be 3.5 million. So even if you open 2 outlets a year, which is what we were averaging the last few years, that one, you would need something like 9 million plus a bit of working capital, maybe 10 million even, to have 2 in the pipeline. So in other words, we will have to repair the balance sheet, get back to making profits first on a consistent basis, hope that another strain doesn't come along. There are so many unknown factors at this point. I mean, steering this ship at this point requires very understanding and very strong shareholders and possibly shareholders with a fair bit of financial capacity. That will be most helpful at this point, doing it on our own.
So, Philip, I can't help but ask this question because you talked about Singapore chili crab just now. Yep. International expansion, going beyond even Johor and Ipoh and Penang, is that a 3-year, 5-year, or 10-year story?
Well, I always believe in growing trees. Growing trees means something like a 50-year journey. I never believe in short-term businesses, and I always grow a team as well as grow the business. The business is also not just a business, it's also the team. There are staff that come in at 17 years old, 18 years old, and start with me, and they eventually retire at 70. Something like 30% of our staff who has been with me for more than 20 years. For me, anything I do is long-term. Whatever I do has got a very, very long-term.
Well, I hope to catch up with you in person over Dim Sum soon. On the Breakfast Grill today is the chairman of Oriental Group, Philip Siu. I'm Philip C, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.